Hello everyone, a good day. This is InnoMinds Podcast Series 5. Our endeavor to bring, significant insights and thought leadership continues to grow. And today, I am so excited to be having a thought leader, an industry leader in the exciting space of low-code platforms and rapid application development paradigms. I have with me Martin from Zudi. Zudi and InnoMinds have partnered together to continue to bring significant innovation around the rapid application development and low-code platformization to the market. More about that later. Today's podcast will focus on certain key insights and experiences that I'm going to have Martin share with us. So Martin Messon is the CEO for Growth Markets, based out of Greater Boston, works at Zudi, and is a low-code platform advocate and solution architect at heart, who's responsible for product and growth strategy at Zudi. He has been an experienced team builder, process creator, and strategist, and has worked with hundreds of enterprises all over the world to build innovative applications and data solutions to solve the toughest business problems. He enjoys empowering teams of people to be successful. Martin, welcome to the show. How have you been doing?
Great, Sairam. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to share my thoughts on low-code today. How have you been doing?
I'm doing good. And as you know, it's a collective endeavor for both InnoMinds and Zudi to offer the exciting methodologies that a low-code platform can offer for rapid application development for customers. And that is what our partnership signifies. Today, I'm going to have you talk about some of your insights and experiences, Martin. Before that, for my audience and all of us here, let me set some context. The Gartner forecasts the worldwide low-code development technologies market to grow 23% in 2021, and the entire LCAP segment, that which is called famously, is projected to expand from $4.4 billion to $14.38 billion. Yes, you heard it right. Between 2020 to 2025, with a CAGR of 4%. And in particular, in 2022 alone, it's projected to be $7.1 billion. By 2025, 72% of new applications developed by enterprises will use low-code or no-code technologies, up from less than 25% in 2020. A little more into that, right? So Gartner's VP Research and Advisory, Jason Wang, famously tells that vendors commonly say low-code, no-code development is like Lego. But if citizen developers or pro developers leave some blocks lying around, we need to step them inadvertently, right? Low-code lets you build your own bricks if needed. No-code insists they have enough bricks or build them small enough that you can assemble a custom part. Finally, beware of low-code, no-code vendors that sell a solution thinking a Harry Potter Lego set and say that you can build anything. So that's the sort of landscape that we are living in. And as the democratization kicks in, the key trend that's driving LCAP adoption, on an average, 41% of employees in an organization are business technologists, according to Gartner. And it predicts that half of all the low-code clients will come from business buyers that are outside the IT organization by 2025. Hence, low-code platforms empowers diverse fusion teams to deliver innovation. With that as the background, let's jump into talk and know more from Martin on what he is saying, what he is driving, and what are his thought processes. Martin, do you agree with this sort of a context that I just tried to put forth? What's your opinion before we get deeper into the show today?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing it with our company's recent growth and the types of applications that our clients are implementing. I think it's worth sharing too that the low-code, no-code market has been something that's developing over the last couple decades. It's had different names before, and primarily what I've been focusing on and our Zudi team has been focusing on is low-code application development for the enterprise. And as we see more and more enterprises adopting these platforms for all types of use cases, we're noticing that they're starting to actually adopt multiple platforms to solve a variety of business needs across the organizations. And they're enabling teams and they're treating it, I think it's really similar to cloud infrastructure strategy before, ERP strategy. A lot of the enterprises that we're working with are starting to build these strategies around the implementation of low code, no code within their organizations. So it doesn't surprise me that Gartner is revealing those stats. Like we're certainly seeing it and feeling it with our growth rate.
Awesome. And today's topic being all about disruptive low code platform solutions and how they can accelerate digital transformation. I'm so thrilled to be doing this with you. So, I mean, I know that you drive a whole lot of innovation at Zudi. So is low-code application development suitable for every business problem? What's your opinion, Martin?
I think the short answer to that today is no. And that might be surprising, but the reason is because there's still ways to evaluate a business problem from a variety of angles and say, yes, we have a new capability in our team. Low code is one of them. Like, let's use that to solve it. But I think what we're seeing from our customers and enterprises is that they're getting challenged with the number of available low code, no code platforms that are out there. And it really helps to understand like what the definition of a low code platform is versus no code. So the way I think about low code is it's platforms that are designed for teams that have professional development or IT experience, and they're looking to enable their teams to be faster, more responsive to business needs. So the low code platforms naturally tailor their development environments to work with someone of some type of technical background. And it might be influenced based on a certain coding technology or maybe a type of use case. And there's a set of great platforms that address that, those types of teams. And then on the no code side, you've got platforms that are developed with someone with zero technical background. And these are people that are usually within the business that are developing, departmental level applications or team-based applications. And there's some bridge back to the IT organization, but they're able to develop solutions on their own, and they have very little technical background. So when it comes to your question, like, is every business problem suitable for low code or no code? I think the answer today is no. But in the future, I do think it's a viable way to actually start a business and scale a business. A lot of the low code platforms will orchestrate other technologies. So they might connect to, your email system or how you interface with, via text messaging or how you produce some type of reports. So those platforms are doing really well as being, sort of the centralized solution across a number of business problems. But I would advise, any CIO that's looking at low code to solve a particular need to understand the use case, right? Is there something out there that addresses the needs of that particular system or systems or end users? And then also examine your development teams. Like, do you have the capability in-house to actually address that use case, or is that something that is better served with your business users taking on?
Awesome, great. With the future of no code, what do you see? I mean, what will be those drastic changes that we can see 2 years down the line?
Yeah, I from a technical point of view, I certainly see, we see this now, many of the low code, no code solutions are focused on integrating to newer technologies like AI or ML, or ensuring that they can connect to some of the new systems that are coming out. So think of systems like Snowflake. So, data source integration, ability to weave in new technologies as they come to light. I think from a strategy point of view, enterprises are going to start developing an internal strategy of which platforms that they adopt and when does it actually make sense to use low code, no code in-house versus working with another team. So the strategy side is something that we're starting to see a little bit grow over the last few months, but typically an enterprise is new to evaluating these technologies. So they're sort of working on the right questions to ask, or what use cases are suitable. And sometimes those use cases are great for low code. Other times they're more suitable for other products. So I think we're going to see developing strategies within the enterprise. And then I also think we're going to see the emergence of a new type of developer. So to bring this into an agile sense, low code really kind of combines the business analyst and the developer together, because you have this great efficiency in the development cycles, and it's moving that developer closer to the business, and creating that level of efficiency where they're, you know, the people that are taking the requirements of the same person that's building those requirements. So that developer profile are starting to emerge, and I think it's a better profile for the overall delivery of applications.
Awesome. I mean, I really understand what you mean by the new code, new type of developer emerging. I fully agree with that. We're seeing same thing at InnoMinds. So how do we evaluate low-code platforms from a business perspective? Even for us, right, as InnoMinds, as a digital product engineering service company that we are, when we go to our customers, we have this conversation to help them choose the right low-code platform. But, you know, hearing about that from the practitioner of the craft that you are, I think will be very insightful for the audience. Can you throw some light?
Yeah, so there's two sides of it. So one is, of course, the use case side, and I'll give some examples in a moment. And then there's also the development team that's, you know, at that enterprise or at that company, and what their specialty kind of gravitates towards. So in terms of use cases, in I think, you know, Gartner has its own categories, but we tend to think about use cases in the terms of forms, of workflows, of dashboards and analytics, of composite solutions. And those are more the technical use cases, or the use cases as how the business would understand them as well. And then you also have to consider other categories like security. You know, how secure does the system need to be, from how you authenticate to all the way down to how you access core systems of record. The other part of it is the scalability. You wouldn't want a citizen developer building a solution that is, you know, going to have thousands of concurrent users on and requires 99.5% uptime. So you have to consider the number of, you know, potential concurrent end users, the scalability, the infrastructure implications, because you want to avoid a situation where a citizen developer would build an application and then, you know, it gets popular, it gets high usage, and then they need to hand that over to IT, and IT just doesn't know enough about that solution. So there's, you know, a number of categories. I'd say it's combined with those specific types. So think forms, think dashboards, analytics, composites, you know, the mission critical nature of the system, the security of the system is also very important. And, you know, I also see some of our enterprise clients building multi-tenant concept applications where many of their customers are signing in, and they need to ensure that data itself is being controlled, you know, correctly. And that's something that, you know, is a skill and kind of quality assurance that needs to happen with every implementation.
Understood. Yeah, agreed. So, I mean, moving on, what are those major challenges that we see for enterprise applications that are being developed, particularly using low-code, no-code platforms?
Yeah, I think it comes down to the beginning part, right, when they're picking a platform. And I've worked with a few enterprises where they'll categorize a few low-code, no-code solutions and say, you know, our strategy is going to be picking two or three, and this type of platform is going to be used for these types of use cases, and this one's going to be used for that. So it's the challenge that they're going to have is developing that strategy and making it clear to the business and IT organizations that when you have use cases that meet these criteria, you know, this is a good use for low code, and if they have multiple platforms, which ones it would be. So there really needs to be clarity, because I do see there's cases where a solution that might have been better fit, and let's say a Power Apps example, would make more sense just because of some integration that exists over there, or some skill set that particular citizen developer has, versus a, like I mentioned, that customer or client portal, which is better suited for a project-based approach. The other piece of it is also developing, you know, so once you have your platforms identified, established, and you have that process created, that criteria process created, it's also creating that center of excellence. And I see some challenges there today, because not every developer, I'd say, you know, developer that's used to sort of the traditional ways of developer is they're still learning what the capabilities of low code, no code, and what those are. So creating that centralized team and building that out, so it's got, a handful of people to maybe, maybe 100 personnel that are developing applications. That's really one way to get, that's almost a necessity to get the ROI out of the low-code platforms that needs to be established. So creating that centralized team that's a combination of business people and the low-code, no-code developers is also going to be, it's going to be a trend we're going to see more of. Right now, it's a challenge, but I do see that being addressed over time.
Got it. So, we constantly hear this thing, will we get ever locked into this low-code platform? This is a very common question that gets asked, right? So what do you have to comment on this from a vendor lock-in standpoint? What's your view?
Yeah, I think with any platform, there's always some lock-in because there's going to be some level of investment that's made in learning how that platform operates, whether it's through creating applications or how it integrates the systems. And there's essentially two categories of these platforms that are out there. They're the low code, no code platforms that generate a set of code that you can reuse and then reinstall somewhere. So they're code generators that allow you to take that code and actually modify it. And then there's the platforms that generate essentially code on the fly for the end user. And those are, you don't even have the opportunity to modify those platforms. There's going to be, even with the ones that generate code, once you modify that code, then it becomes very difficult to maintain. Either it's going to be overwritten or it's written in such a way that, is machine automated. So it's, it's probably not meeting the coding standards of your coding team. So it's still, while you can edit it and use it, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can modify that code and start, redeploying it and making changes. So we at Zooty, we offer what we call a runtime approach. So you do need Vinyl to run Vinyl applications, but you can also give you the option to just run your application as is, which means you don't modify or add any major functionality. You can fix bugs, but in order to develop new applications, you would require a license of Vinyl, which is one thought process amongst the vendors, and the other one is to generate code and give the teams the option to modify it.
Understood. What has been the relationship with InnoMinds, and why did you choose to partner and work with InnoMinds? What's your experience so far?
It's been a great experience. I think we recognize the value in you helping us expand our message to the market, which essentially we're doing right now, and also identifying, helping your customers or prospects map to potentially our solution and say, this sounds like your problem is suitable for low code, no code, that you should speak to Zooty. So we really appreciate that partnership and, that visibility within your network. And then on the side of how we're supporting InnoMinds, we've had numerous people taking our training class to learn the product, and a lot of it is around methodology and approach as well. So we expand our offering beyond just the product, and it's the best practices and methodologies around using a low code, no code platform. And a lot of that's applicable across the market. And we've started to help you guys evaluate internal use cases. So I know that we're looking at a few in-house possibilities of starting with an internal use case, building that by supporting your team, and then perhaps taking another more external facing use case to your clients, once we get that that win under our belt.
Terrific. Thank you for that. And just on that note, for the sake of audience, so what we do at InnoMinds, we are a Silicon Valley headquartered digital product engineering services organization. We have built hundreds of products, co-created them for some of the largest and the most advanced independent software vendors world over. And with all the 20 years of corporate experience of developing products across the technologies, today, while we are at the forefront of software product innovation and engineering, we also realize the fact that the entire model of software development is getting citizenized by the advent of technology disruption through low-code platforms. And in that parlance, while we were searching for a complementary technology platform provider who has innovation at the center of the DNA, the agility to bring disruption to market and also make sure cross-platform business applications for enterprises and ISVs can be dealt and built faster. We figured out that Zudi offers that with its vinyl platform, and the relationship has been absolutely complementary, and it's exciting for us to go to the market. So thank you, Martin, for that note as well. Now let's move on. Would you talk about maybe three case studies or maybe a couple of them where Zudi has accelerated the software development through low-code technology in different verticals?
Yes, and I think for the audience, this is where you'll really see the power of low-code, no-code, especially in the areas that our platform enables, our platform Vinyl. So one, I'd love to share because it's a public-facing application. It's something that potentially some of your audience might not be aware that they are using. But so our platform facilitates the ranking and scoring of all the marathons in the world. So as of earlier this year, if you were to run a marathon over a certain age group, you would be eligible for this runner's portal, and you get ranked in your demographic and in your country and worldwide. And the runner's portal is designed to incentivize the runner to achieve what they call a 6-star marathon journey. And with the way that Vinyl fits into that picture is that we are aggregating and running some algorithms against all the data that's collected from the events, from the various events, and even smaller events, right? Some of the lesser well-known events, and then running those calculations, matching it to the runner, right? There's some deduping that happens and aggregation that happens. The runner can claim those results. And when they claim those results, they're doing that through the Vinyl end user portal. So Vinyl is doing the back end kind of calculation, but also it is the end user application as well. So you can imagine thousands of runners logging in, claiming results. Some of them are signing up. So the sign up process is also highly secure, and that's done through a Vinyl application. And then they are, then they can view their results and view their rankings, and they have a really nice mobile rich application that facilitates that, as well as a desktop application. So lots of capabilities that we had to hit. One other powerful point that we designed in the platform initially, and this is something that I would imagine all low code vendors need, is this ability to share data upstream. So all the data that we collect, all the algorithms that we run, all the events that get managed in Vinyl are then accessible via a REST API to put live on their website. So if you were to go to their website today and look at your rankings, that it's nicely, it looks, the data that's in those rankings is being sourced from the Vinyl system, Vinyl applications.
That's pretty interesting.
Yep. So that's one. You said three, right? So I'll touch on a couple more. We are working, and this is public knowledge, so we are working with the Department of Defense. I won't go in a lot of detail on the particular agency, but their application that they had built entirely by them is a instructor matching tool. So they offer courses that teach very depth or experience courses around a particular subject around. In this case, military in aircraft, and they take these courses and they match them to ideal instructors based on their time availability and a number of other parameters. And this particular agency had an existing system. This was the third time they wanted to implement this solution, and they really liked the Vinyl platform because of its capability to be tailored and customized to their needs, because they had very unique requirements, and also just the ease of use in terms of working with the development team. So we, they could not outsource any of this work. It was being done within that team there, and they would just reach out to us either via email or perhaps a Zoom call and get support that way. But they really had to develop most of this capability in-house.
Got it. That's pretty interesting. Did you say Department of Defense?
Yes. Yep. In the U.S.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
In general, I think that use case for us has been a bridge to other agencies and other areas, because they are recognizing that low code, no code in general is great for their teams because of the security that's required. Like most of the applications have to be built by an in-house team. And we were noticing that a lot of the patterns were being done in Excel or Microsoft Access, and you know, they're trying to move off those platforms into something that's more centralized but also scalable. The other favorite use case that I have is because I've implemented this a few times. It's a retail use case, and this is the ability for a retailer to create what they call a clienteling solution. So this is the ability for an associate or any type of sales rep to look up a consumer and see a purchasing history or get a 360 degree view of that consumer. So they can see, you know, their preferred products, they can see their last transactions, any notes, any preferences. And the reason why this is commonly a challenge across retailers is because the data from all those systems come from a number of data sources. So bringing those systems together in real time is a great use case for Vinyl in this particular approach. And also being able to integrate to an AI technology so they can pass transactional information and say, based on this product history, you know, what are some recommended products that either based on the image or based on the data that this consumer might be interested in. So that's a great use case because of the multi-system nature of, you know, the retailers, and they always have different point of sales, different CRMs, different image systems. So bringing that all together was one challenge that we solved.
It indeed is. Thank you so very much. Those three use cases, I must say, have been very close to being as pragmatic as they were. I'm sure every software development organization would relate to them, considering some of those problems that we intend to solve in the traditional model, how you've accelerated using low-code. That's good. So what is one thing that you're seeing in the no-code development that particularly excites you? It could be technology, it could be business, just thought I will ask you this thing.
Yeah, I am really excited about we've seen a number of startup customers come to us, adopt our platform, build an application, and either get funding or get customers, you know, in a record time, especially for a startup. And I bring this up because a lot of startups are not just consumer startups. Like, it's either someone that, you know, had a great idea that's a very niche idea that's more B2B use case, and maybe they tried to build it on their own or bring on a development team. And now many of those leaders, you know, those they're visionaries probably at their previous company, are building these end-to-end solutions and able to, you know, take their idea, make it come to life, make it real. And we're seeing kind of this investor mindset be open and actually encouraging to startups who adopt low code or no code to build their first cut application. And these are real applications. They're using them to actually, you know, like solve the problem that they set out to do, and then add additional functionality as they get feedback from their customers or from their investors. So I we're seeing it within our client base. We had one client get a multi-million dollar round of funding, right, from investors, and she would have never dreamed of that happening without a low-code product, and she had evaluated other approaches before. So I think we're going to start seeing this trend of startups adopting various levels of low-code, no-code, and then, you know, be successful. And I think that's one thing that's really exciting, is just allowing an innovator to really bring their idea to life and putting that power in their hands. I think it's just, you know, very exciting to see how that plays out.
Awesome. I think what you touched is a very interesting thing, like something like an MVP acceleration for a startup, right? And then that will help them faster go show it to market, show it to certain customers. I get that. That's very interesting. So what might be, Milton gets a little technical now, what could be the challenges behind creating web apps and mobile apps using a low code, no code approach? And are there any specific ways that you would advocate, and how would Zudy approach that?
Yeah, so I, two parts of with this question come to mind. So one is the perception in challenge with some platforms where you're going to hit a wall when it comes to a requirement. So maybe you have a customer that requires you to integrate to DocuSign, and you need to put their, you know, logo, a custom logo on the DocuSign document. And that, you know, that's not a common requirement, but that requirement might be the mandatory, right? It must be addressed. So there's a perception and sometimes rightfully so with developers, that there's going to be a limitation. And I know within platforms that are out there, and I think Zooty does this very well, is you enable the ability to extend the platform out in a controlled manner. So you allow developers to incorporate their own level of JavaScript or C sharp, or maybe it's a stored procedure in a database. So all the low code platforms really need to be open to extending multiple technologies into the platform, because they're gonna run into this final 1-2% of requirements that have to be addressed. And you know, at Zooty, we felt that while most of what you develop in the platform is gonna be point and click, drag and drop, we did not want development teams to hit a wall. So we've been very open to extensibility, and we've enabled that. So I think other platforms are having that challenge, and they often will have to incorporate almost too much code to solve it. So, you know, I think this is something that if you're a development team evaluating a product, you're going to want to see the ability to incorporate CSS, JavaScript, and, you know, technologies that you're more familiar with. On the web and mobile side, I want to touch on that. There's two ways to approach the web and mobile development. So when you first start off developing an application, many platforms will ask you, is this a web app or a mobile application? So you almost have to make a decision to say, I'm going web app or I'm going, you know, mobile only, which is a challenge in itself, because a lot of times an enterprise doesn't know, right? They don't know, is this going to be majority of a mobile application, or is it going to have some requirements that need to be on a desktop? So forcing a development team to declare that early is a challenge. The way we solve that at Zooty is that you don't need to make that decision until the end. You can keep, you essentially start you off as a web application. And as you get close, and then as you're ready to go into production, you can take what you've built and develop offline or store and forward applications or native applications with the platform, and have that be available as a pure native device, or it runs nicely on a phone or a tablet, you know, and the desktop. So putting that decision at the end makes more sense, because then at that point the business has a better idea how the application is going to be used, you know, as they get testing, as they go, you know, as they refine requirements. So we deal with that strategy by, you know, some technical capability we've created to take a web application and move it to, you know, 100% offline or mobile.
Got it. Quite interesting. Most importantly, right, low code, no code comprises pretty short development life cycles. How do you ensure the quality of the applications? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And quality is, I'll touch on a related challenge that I'm observing, is that when you have a low code, no code platform, the common evaluation of code obviously is not there, because there's not much code to evaluate. So, and we're doing this now. So vendors really need to be able to put something in the platform that highlights, you know, the violation of a best practice, or this, you know, how you've constructed this query or this user experience is going to lead to potential quality issues. So that should be addressed in the platforms as you're developing them, or at least as you're testing them. So, you know, quality assurance is something that, and rightfully so, should be built into the platforms. And then as far as how it stands today, the advantage of low code, no code is that it does shorten the dev cycle, which opens up time to more time towards testing. I think we all know in a traditional development project or any type of, you know, IT project, is that development is usually the longest pole in the tent. And the thing that you start losing time in order to make go live is testing and feedback and refinement. So at Zooty, we believe that it should not be the longest pole in the tent. Development should be, you know, maybe one of the larger parts of your project, but as you're in your first third of the project, development should be able to send something for testing, for refinement, and starting feedback, hands-on feedback from users. So I think low code, no code, if anything, actually corrects the testing cycles that should be happening, which allows for better applications, you know, once they get closer to launch.
Got it. Understood. As far as Zooty platform is concerned, how customizable is it?
Yeah, it's very customizable. Everything, you know, what I tend to guide our customers is that if you can mock it up on Figma, so Figma has a lot of liberty, you'll probably get between, you know, 80 to 90% there in our platform in Vinyl. So customizable, you know, typically means the aesthetics, the UI, the branding, the look and feel. So we give a lot of control of that. If you can declare it in CSS, you can create what we call a theme in Vinyl and apply that theme at all levels of the application. And that's just a set of CSS that's reusable. And then, you know, customization could also happen on the logic side as well as the integration side. And that's even more so in our platform and other platforms for that matter, being able to integrate for, you know, to a number of systems and create logic that meets the requirements is there as well. But we offer, you know, high level customization that's quite straightforward and easy to use within the UI especially.
Coming back, I think this will be something of interest to everyone. How can one measure, or anyone, right? How can one measure the improvement areas after a low code platform development happens, deployment happens?
Yeah, so there's two parts of that. And actually we've partnered with a company to help us with this as well. And so you always will need to identify, and we try to do this up front, a business value metric. So that could come in the form of something simple. Let's say it's the number of customers onboarded, or it could be a revenue target, or it could be something to do with headcount, or it could be, you know, volume of orders processed, or maybe it's a step in a workflow approval. So there has to be something that's understandable to at the executive level to say, you know, what is my ROI on this particular application or suite of applications? And then, so once you've established that, then you need sort of secondary or supporting metrics that are tied to the application itself. So this could be how many times users are accessing or utilizing the application, how many times they're on a particular page, or how many times do they hit the approval button, or how many, you know, how many workflows were executed in the app. So these are transactions that are 100% associated with the application itself. And then this is where the vendors can actually add some dashboard or insights into these metrics. They should be able to give you the usage analytics on an application by page and how long a user was on a particular screen or how many times a particular event was executed. Because you then need to, so you need to tie that business ROI metric back to the application metrics and say the reason why you've onboarded 200 more customers this year is because of, you know, of the activity that we're seeing in your, you know, your CRM that works well with your order management system. So I think the technical part of doing the analysis against the applications is actually easier. Establishing the ROI metric with the business up front is actually more of a challenge. And that's more of a business, you know, question versus a technical question. But sometimes the question is not asked, which is what we encourage our customers to do, is identify that business value metric. And then once you do, make sure you're able to measure it in the application.
Understood. While we're coming towards the end of the show, it's a couple of things that I wanted to seek your views. How well a low-code platform works with an organization's cloud strategy, and in general, how secure and scalable are low-code platforms?
Yeah, so I strongly believe that a low-code, no-code platform actually facilitates the movement to your cloud infrastructure strategy. Many of the offerings that are out there, you'll notice, have multiple options for deployment. So they might start with a private cloud strategy or a full SaaS solution or platform as a service, or they would offer an on-premise solution or a hybrid. So one way to get into the cloud, if you're starting your journey, is you could select one of your applications and say, this portal that we're building on a low code, no code system is going to be hosted in the cloud. The vendor should give you the option to select which cloud option you'd like. And then that particular system, you could build potential integrations to other sources, whether they're on-premise or external sources. So I actually think it's a great way to take your first use case, establish that this is going to be hosted on the cloud, It's going to be able to potentially connect to systems that you might need to support the use case. And then naturally you have your first step into an overall cloud strategy. Where I see this sometimes not working is when you have a platform that does not allow for that. Maybe for whatever reason, they don't offer a private cloud solution, or you know, everything has to be within their tenant or within their SaaS solution, which that's a consideration. So if you're trying to move to the cloud, one of your criteria for evaluating a platform should be like, where can you host that platform? What are the options?
Got it.
And then on the security front, this is another metric. So insecurity is complicated. There's multiple levels. So Vinyl, we knew that in order to work for the enterprise, I mean, I mentioned the Department of Defense, that we had to address all levels very well. So we had to address how you authenticate into an application. Do you support single sign-on? Are you able to control which applications and pages are being viewed by the user, you know, in an easy to manage way? Are you able to integrate with an existing, let's say, HR management system, something like a SuccessFactors or Workday, and use data from those systems to determine what they can do and what they can see downstream? And then you potentially have identity management. So just because you sign in as one user, how you access, let's say, SAP or Salesforce, it could be a different user ID. So how do you carry over identity to other systems that might be used in the low code solution? So then, you know, then we can get into infrastructure, encryption at rest, encryption, you know, in transit. All that has to be addressed as well. So we've ensured that the full stack of security at Vinyl is something that could be controlled by the IT organization especially, and they have options in terms of the levels of deployment and level of control that they need. So that's, yeah, I mean, I think other platforms are in different areas of that process, but security wise, you know, we feel that we're, you know, very strong in that category.
Terrific. It has been absolutely insightful with all those insights and revelations that you've made from what you have been seeing. I would like to summarize in general the benefits of low-code development platforms that we are seeing, which I will resonate with what the Forrester research says. That one, faster delivery. Low-code development platforms are emerging as a key strategy to accelerate application delivery to support digital transformation, and with the potential to make software development as much as 10 times faster than traditional methods, says John Reimer from Forrester. And the research also says that 70% of IT leaders found that low-code platforms are more affordable compared to traditional development platforms, and 80% cited the ability to meet requirements within budget. Last but not the least, and the most important, 90% of IT leaders find that the flexible design of low-code platforms helps to significantly improve customer experience compared to traditional development platforms. So as we look at all these benefits, and as we look at those strong experiences of a platform like Zoody that Martin elucidated, and also the technology insights as well as the business use cases, as a digital next services provider that we are at InnoMinds, we see that enterprises as well as software product companies who are in a greater rush to develop applications, which are first time ready and bring it to market, are moving more and more towards adoption of value-driven low-code platforms. I think that's going to stay. And as a software product engineering digital innovation company, we believe that this is a very strong option for all of us to consider. That brings me to the end of today's podcast, edition 5. At InnoMinds, we will continue to bring rich insights as we've always been doing. And I wanted to thank Martin once again, and of course, Zoody, for bringing this alive, as well as sharing extremely important insights as they see it day in and day out. Together, we promise our customers a more stronger, market offering that can offer a strategic low-code and rapid application development offering that can have significant advantage. With this is Sairam Vedam, a Global Chief Marketing Officer at InnoMinds, signing off. And thank you, Martin, once again. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you, Sairam. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.